Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. Well, my next guest is a stand-up and actress who's coming to North Bar in Wicker Park this Sunday. Chicago, please give a warm welcome to Erica Rhodes.
I am in therapy, which I like. I'm not sure I do it right because I spend most of my therapy sessions just showing my therapist video clips of my stand-up act. And I think I'll know I've really made it when I don't have to pay my audience $200 an hour. Whenever I, like, get nervous, though, about not being really successful, I just think, Erica, there are starving kids in Africa who are way less successful than you are. Some of them don't even have an IMDb page. I have a friend who's, like, always putting things in perspective. She's, like, the perspective friend. And, like, I had a bad day the other day, and she's like, Erica, you know what I do when I'm having a bad day to put things in perspective? I just Google child refugees. And it really helps. It's like, really? You have to go to that extremes? Like, I just look up on Facebook which of my high school friends got fat.
Erica Rhodes has performed all over the country, has been featured on television programs like Veep, New Girl, and Modern Family, just to name a few. She also was a frequent guest on the Comedy Central hit At Midnight. Rhodes is coming to Chicago this Sunday at North Bar in Wicker Park, but first, she's with us today. Erica Rhodes, welcome to The Download.
Oh, thanks.
First off, what's it like to come through Chicago? How often do you get through town, and do you have experience? What's your overall experience of playing rooms here in town?
This is my first time playing Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I'm from the East Coast, so I've done shows out there, and then I've done other shows in the Midwest and South, but somehow I have missed Chicago, so I'm really excited.
For you, when you've missed a town like this or you're coming through, what is the routine? Do you try to take extra days to check out a big city like this, or is it just business as usual? Come in on Sunday, get out on Sunday night, and on to the next place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming from Iowa, so I'm doing a couple shows there, and then I'm coming back by way of Chicago, and I have some relatives there, so I'm seeing my cousin for like a night, but then I have shows again back in LA and then back on the road. So I unfortunately don't have a lot of time there. I'm sad though.
As a comic and someone who is touring, do you ever get used to the idea of jumping from one place to another, different stage, night after night? Is there a method to the madness when it comes to touring as a stand-up comedian?
You know, so far, no. I know people who have been doing it for like 20 years, and they have a real routine going on for them. But for me, it's still rather new to be on the road so much. So I'm still getting used to not having any sort of routine. Like every single place is different, every hotel is different, club is different. So my main thing is I find the local coffee shop. You know, that's goal number one at every new town. I'm like, I have to find the coffee. And once I find the coffee, I'm good.
Well, there are several options in Chicago for that, of course, and even in the Wicker Park neighborhood.
Yes.
Do you, obviously you come in with a set and you're ready to rock, but when you're touring, do you find time to work on new material, or are you relying on the stuff that brings you to town?
Yeah, I'm always working on new stuff. Sometimes I try to write some jokes about where I am or about the people there or my observations there. So I'm definitely always working on new stuff and trying to develop my act. So it's really great.
For you, how do you develop an act? I know that you have both a dual career as a stand-up and as well as an actress. Being in LA and being available for work on television is great, but how do you do both? How do you develop an act and at the same time do a career in acting?
I think you have to get on the road. I don't think there's any shortcut with it. You know, it's fine to be an actor and who does stand-up, but if you really want to be taken seriously as a comic, I think there are no shortcuts and you have to get on the road. You have to find ways to connect with all people, not just people in the industry or people in big cities. Like, I really think the best way to get great as a comic is to just hammer out the road. So that's what I'm trying to do now. I act, but it's not my main priority. My comedy's my priority. So
when you're at Showcase, because I would just assume that there are so many options and opportunities for showcases on the West Coast in LA, just meaning that everybody has a room on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? But is it easy to stand apart because there's so much more volume? There are so many people there that are there for the industry, that are there trying to make a name for themselves?
Yeah, it's also the audiences tend to be a little more jaded because they know that they might see Chappelle that night or Sarah Silverman might drop in, you know. So they don't really value every comic the same. They're more there for like the star power, you know. So so when I had such a great experience a few weeks ago, I went to Lake Chelan in Washington, and it was a tiny town. Like the whole town was on one street, and they were so grateful for comedy. They were so excited to have comics from LA, and they, you know, they just really appreciated it. So it's just a different level of appreciation, I think, if you go outside of LA.
You know, I always, you know, talk to musicians and in the theater community in LA, and they'll talk about, even though obviously the big push is the industry and being able to get on television, films and stages, there is community. And whenever you have so many artists together and so many comics that live together, community is formed. Do you see beyond the idea that, you know, people are there to get on television, that there is a community that's come together, a scene, if you will, for stand-up comedians?
Yeah, I feel like it's great because you get to mingle with people who have been doing it forever, and then also newer comics. Like, you're constantly learning, and I feel like comics who have been doing it a long time are really generous, actually, to newer comics. Like, I feel like they really give advice. You know, like, I've opened before for Andy Kindler, who's one of my favorites, and he's given me some really great advice. And then just other comics who are, you know, really, really great. Tend to be pretty generous with their peers. So yeah, there's definitely community, and it's a smaller knit community than you realize. You know, like you can know all the comics within a few years.
Erica Rhodes is with us. She's at North Bar coming up here on Sunday. Your material, you do a lot of personal material about your life and about growing up and your parents, a lot about your relationship with your parents, even when you're younger and as you've gotten older. How did they respond? How do you go about putting personal details and personal information on stage and in your act?
I'm lucky because I grew up with parents who love attention. they were musicians, actually. My mom is a musician. She's a professional violinist at the Boston Pops. And my dad was a clarinetist, then he changed professions. But they met in music school, and they love the attention. They almost compete for material. Like, my dad will get jealous if I do too many mom jokes, you know. And, they love it. My mom really loves it. She's such a ham.
For you, a lot of it is obviously their relationship to you as you grow older as an adult. Are there any moments where they're like, well, I love it, but maybe not this much?
No, they're actually really pretty cool about it. One time, the only time that my mom criticizes me is if my grammar is not correct. She's so crazy about grammar. So I did a joke recently where I said something about how my mom has a flip phone. My mom only has a flip phone, but somehow still manages to Google every comic I ever opened for and ask me, is he married? And my mom wrote to me this long email saying, it's not right, it's not correct to say my mom only has a flip phone, because that sounds like that's all she has, you know, like, this whole correction thing.
Hey, we all need an editor, right? That's good.
Yeah, she's an editor. She really is.
For you, you have had not only a career in, as we talked about, on stage, but also on TV. But you also are a frequent guest. You've, like most comics are, on podcasts, and you've talked about your own issues in your life at one point, talking about being sort of diagnosed as bipolar. How do you work that kind of work, the stuff that you discover about yourself, into a comedy act?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I actually, to be honest, regret doing that podcast because I was misdiagnosed with bipolar. So I would love to go back on the podcast and say I was pretty much misdiagnosed, and I've been diagnosed with other things since. And I do jokes about how any psychiatrist you see will just diagnose you with whatever their expertise is.
Right.
So if they're really into ADHD, you've got ADHD now. If they, you know, if their focus is depression, you have depression. So, you know, I went through a phase where I was pretty depressed, and I write about it a lot, you know, and I still get depressed, but I don't think I'm bipolar, and
right.
I think it might have been a little bit too soon to talk about it in a podcast when it wasn't really fully figured out yet.
Well, there's something to be taken. Right. But there's something to be taken about that. Just the idea that a lot of time, and at least in this age, if you want to work material out or even have, you know, talk about something that's personal, everything seems to be a work in progress, whether it be a podcast, and
yeah.
That's about the moment, right?
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. Like, your life is a work in progress, and therefore your career is constantly a work in progress, because you're never fully realized. Like, I have friends who were divorced. I talked to a friend recently who's a comic who is divorced, and he said, yeah, it was such a shame when I got divorced, because I lost my whole act. I thought he was going to say he lost his dog or he lost the house.
Exactly.
He's like, I lost
material.
My whole act. Because, you know, it was all about his wife and being married and everything. And then he's like, I can't do any of those jokes anymore. So
that is right. That he did lose his act. There it is.
I do like getting personal, though. I like being, you know, very honest and real and trying to, you know, come from wherever I am at the moment.
There seems to be a desire, and maybe it's because social media propels us this way, and perhaps the idea that everything that you, every joke can be found on social media, on YouTube, or can be found in podcasts, things like that, that we want our comics to be more personal. We want our comics to almost bare their souls more than we have in the past, where people just came up and did their act on late night TV, and we either liked their sensibility or we didn't. As a comic in this generation, do you feel that pressure? That there's more responsibility, if you will, to talk personally about your life?
Yes and no. Like, I feel like in some ways, as I grow as a comic, I want to talk about myself, but I want to talk about bigger things from my point of view. So it's not just about my life, because that gets kind of self-indulgent and boring, you know. So I'm sort of like going into a more observational place, but from my specific point of view, which is the kind of comedy that I love watching.
Well, we'll be watching. Erica Rhodes is going to be on stage at North Bar in Wicker Park this Sunday. You can find out all about her, obviously, Erica Rhodes, online. Erica, thanks so much for joining us. Take some time out to talk to us on the download. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.